Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
The Real Housewives of OC Casting shuffles the deck. The Brandy Glanville, Joanna Krupa lawsuit goes next level ridiculous. We question, is Misha Barton crazy again? Megyn Kelly takes over today, and Julie Garland is on the move. Lexi Stack co-hosts now. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from pop culture enthusiast Lexi Stack.
Hi.
Hey. We have a lot to talk about in this show. I'm glad to have you on the rants.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. Former NBC page, too. We worked together over at NBC for a while, and now we're back working again as well. And in this episode, there's lots to say. We're going to be talking about everything from Real Housewives to cleansing in LA. So get ready. I want to give out an award I haven't, and no one's received in a while, the Sherry Shepherd Award for Excellence in Ignorance. Let's give it out.
Announcing the recipient for the Sherry Shepherd Award for Excellence in Ignorance.
I'm giving this award to Madonna for her whole behavior surrounding this election and the inauguration. Could you believe her comments?
No, not at all.
She was talking about how she's like, it's time to, like, you know, I know you're upset and I've wanted to go and blow up the White House, allegedly, yeah. And all this.
Totally counterproductive to everything people are trying to do.
Exactly. And now people, and there are people out there who don't understand what the women's movement was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that now it's colored by this and it's a horrible thing. And now tax dollars are going to a secret service, going in to look at an investigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she completely overshadowed it.
She ruined it. She was like, she really did, like, I don't like Madonna, so I'm giving her an award anyway. No, you don't.
No, I don't, and everyone does.
I don't get it. She's just not my generation.
Mm-mm.
No.
I mean, her songs back in the 80s were awesome, but once TRL came along, it was time to go.
Yeah, they phased her out, and that's it for her. But I just think that was the most, just the worst thing, and just such a bad look for everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't know. She said, there was an article in Rolling Stone where she's talking, I don't know if she talked to them specifically, but she was like, was me trying to, like, redirect the tension and trying to, like, you know, show the issue at hand versus, like, the emotion. But that is one ignorant comment.
Exactly.
Not about it.
Mm-mm.
Not about it. Let's start off with talking about some housewives and the latest casting news. I can't believe what a story the OC casting has made all over my news feed, all over Facebook. Did you catch this?
I did. I saw that Heather was leaving and Megan is alleged, right?
Yeah, it's not like quote confirmed by Bravo, but I've known forever that she's not coming back.
What do you make of Heather leaving?
Heather leaving is a problem, I think, because I, like, enjoy her. She's extra.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I expect from her, like, there's always one on every show that they're just not going to come with a storyline, but they're going to be there and they're going to provide, like, jokes and commentary and nonsense and lifestyle that she'd had, you know. So I was like, oh, I hate to see her go in a way, but, and I also hate to see her go because she ended on a negative note.
Yes, she did. And I had a suspicion she was leaving for a while, because I saw online somewhere that Bravo really wanted to see inside the new house that we kept hearing about, all these renovations. And then on her podcast, she was setting up for, I think it was Heather's Closet.
Oh, yeah.
And so I thought that was weird that she chose to show it to a separate audience. So I had suspicions back then that she was probably going to cut ties.
Oh, you know, I watched that Heather's Closet. It's her sitting in her closet looking at items and showing photos of where she wore the outfit. I mean, it's not really for me, but I
thought it was interesting because she didn't let the cameras in the house at all. So it was almost like she had different things in mind.
Yeah. She said that different people were coming to her with projects that were, like, too on the nose with her brand, and she wanted to expand and get out of it. But, I mean, I will say, at least she gave credit to being part of, I believe she said something along the lines of being, like, part of a pop culture iconic movement on TV.
Well, and not to be mean, no one knew her before Housewives.
No, she thought so.
She wasn't some Oscar-worthy actress, but I think it did a lot of good for her.
Yeah, she said that she attributes her decision to there being a tipping point, and having to go in a different direction in her life, which is such like a Pollyanna answer.
Well,
you know?
Especially when all she does is reality. She's on Terry's, you know, botched post show, or yeah. where she's the host of that, and. But,
well, she did do that Young and Hungry recently. Oh, yeah. She's, we're supposed yeah. to remember that she's a comedic actress.
And she just sequestered on Crackle.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
I forgot about yeah. that. she took a nosedive with fans and popularity, so that could be another thing, too. Maybe she's like, you know what, this is... Not only is the show a bad image with someone like Kelly on, but now I'm mm-hmm. now I'm being dragged into it all too. Well, through her own behavior. I mean, her behavior in that bus scene wasn't that smart. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens with her. Allegedly, she isn't even going to be a friend of. Like, she is completely done.
Wow.
And I was hoping that we would at least see her for like the first episode. Like, they go to lunch and they'd say, "How's your house? Let's yeah. come over and see it." And then they'd be like, "All right, bye, Heather." You know, like we'll yeah. drop her off.
I wonder if it was really her choice. I'm always interested in that. She mm-hmm. did, well, she did, you know, make sure to thank them, and she put that the door was always open, so that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's, I feel like in a way, they could say they've told her story.
Yeah. That's
what's
true, because what, yeah, the house was all.
The house was really it. Right. Yeah. So, well, Megan King Edmonds, you mentioned... So she's like, I don't know, what do you want to say about her? I mean, she basically moved to St. Louis, so she can't do the show. So I wasn't surprised.
Wasn't surprised, and hate to say she's kind of boring. I mean, after Justice and trying to find, you know, Vicky Brooks and all that, there wasn't much there.
Yeah.
You know, infertility, having the baby, but I don't know, she's just kind of boring. Mm-hmm.
You know, I reflected on the last season, especially when it came to her, because I was after reading this news. And I was thinking, she really was pretty distant from the ladies. Even when they traveled, mm-hmm. she was kind of on her own. She would get on the phone with her husband. She wasn't in the mix, really. She even in those vans, she just kind of sat and just watched things go down. Which, you know, all right. I mean, I respect that in a way. You're not, like, throwing your head in. You're not going and attacking people. But it did seem like she was on an like islanded from the other ladies. And that could happen because tensions were so high for so long.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, I always thought Jim was more interesting. Like, he was comical in his comments to her.
Yeah.
You know, and she was like, they were going to lunch, and she was crying. And she's like, "I'm just going to miss you." And he's like, "We're going to lunch. Everything will be fine." And this candle business, and he's such a random but interesting guy.
I thought he was
more fascinating than she was, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I always thought that was like an Andy Cohen casting because he loves the Cardinals.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was always like, is she perfect for this show, or is he more enjoyable to the producer?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And do you think they're the real deal? I don't know.
I don't know. I would hope so if she's going to have a kid with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's an article, they said, Megan King Edmonds III. And I was like, that's so shady. I like it, though. I like it. Kind of true. And then Tamara and Vicky are allegedly, how can you say allegedly confirmed? But, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, who are we kidding?
Right.
They're on. So, and a friend of mine says that he would only watch it if they were off. I was like, but they are the show to me. Like,
yeah.
I love Tamara and I love Vicky.
I really love Tamara, too. And then Vicky, you know, runs hot and cold, as she does with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you watch because of her.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And, like, unlike Heather, whose story is kind of ended, Vicky's just continues into
yes.
a spiral.
Yes, and there's always something new with her.
Always.
And I love Brianna.
Yeah.
I like seeing her kids, too.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for the show. I don't know when it's coming back. I mean, it looks like to me that they're just getting the ball rolling on casting, which
mm-hmm.
could be a long time. But I want the show to come back. I miss it. And I'm kind of like getting through Beverly Hills, but, you know, it's not bad that it's not as great.
Yeah, I feel like there's been a stretch for some of the storylines, like with the whole Pantygate.
Yeah.
Which wasn't much of a story.
And then bringing Kim back on is not much either.
Yeah, what mm-hmm. do you think about that Eden?
Eden, I don't know. See, we're recording this podcast the day before on a Sunday, and she's coming into AfterBuzz on a Monday.
Oh.
So I am, like, holding my reservations out for her because
mm-hmm.
I'm holding my thoughts. Because I want to talk to her first and see, like, what she has to say. Because I feel like we're only given what we're given.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know what she's really thinking. And if she really is that obsessed with a stranger's sobriety.
Yeah, well, I was... Do you read the blogs?
A little bit.
I was reading Vanderpump's blog, and she alluded to the fact that there's been a little bird in her ear. that someone's feeding her, like, the Kyle's the enabler and all of this. So I get the sense that there's a lot more to come with that for why she's jumping in. But like you said, from just the snippets alone, I think it's a bit much. But I don't think we've seen enough of her to judge.
Mm-hmm. True,
but I don't know. This was the first time to me Kim actually seemed sober.
I know.
Even when she used to claim to me. Yeah, she did.
I agree.
She seemed sober. She seemed good. And, you know, the relationships, the sibling relationship is hard. So why get involved?
Right. Well, a former housewife of BH, Brandy Glanville. Talk about getting involved. I mean, this is really, could this have blown up any worse? From a 2013 Watch What Happens Live episode, we've talked about it before on this show. I didn't think it was going to go as far as it has. But, you know, there were those comments made about Joanna's lady parts not smelling very rosy. I never can really word that classy on this show. I don't know how to word it, correctly. I mean, that's what the suit is over. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're full of Bravo celebrities that are all roped into this. Joanna supposedly had an affair with... Follow the names. Here we go. Joanna from The Real Housewives of Miami was supposedly having an affair with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Yolanda Hadid's ex-husband, Mohammed, who is friends with Lisa Vanderpump on Beverly Hills Housewives. And Lisa Vanderpump allegedly, but is denying having heard this comment made that Mohammed said about Joanna's vagina.
That's exactly right. And now they're saying that she will have to submit documents from her doctor saying, you know, to whether she does smell or doesn't smell.
Can you believe that?
No, I can't believe it's real news in an issue that's going on in court.
Wouldn't you at that point just drop the suit because it's so embarrassing?
Well, and also, if it's not true, why are you this defensive? It's more publicity that way. And what work would she be missing out on?
I don't know. I can't imagine. Like, how would that get in the way of doing a job?
Yeah, I feel like anyone would want to hear about the story and have more scoop.
Yeah, I mean, she's calling for emotional distress and all that. I mean, they always tack that on, you know, like defamation and all that. So Joanna has to turn over any type of communication that she had with Andy Cohen and Lisa Vanderpump. Like, what do you do? Just take screenshots of texts?
Wow.
And who has texts from 2013?
No one. I wonder if they have to go in through the company.
Oh, like Apple or whatever?
If it's like an investigation.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, it's getting really serious for a comment made in a fight.
I didn't think things blew up this much. I just didn't think that it was going to go this far. I thought that they would do like, you know, they'd have like a mediation. And they'd be like, was this damaging? Has this affected your income? No, yes. And then we'll settle for an amount.
I wonder if it's because she doesn't have work. Maybe she does want the PR. And also, I heard somewhere that I thought in housewives' contracts they weren't allowed to sue each other.
Oh.
That would be interesting. Maybe that was just a rumor because I don't even know if this can go on. Or maybe there are loopholes.
Maybe they can't sue each other of the same show.
Oh, maybe.
That might be it. I don't know. That's interesting. I never heard about that.
Yeah.
Now, they are having to have their contracts reviewed, which for whatever reason. I don't know why anyone would need to view Brandy's contract.
Right. Maybe that's why.
I just don't understand. Like, what are they going to look for? Like, it's just going to be like, here's how much you make. Here's what you agree to.
Right.
Like, I don't know how that's going to fall into the comments. I mean, she said it. So what is the contract going to say?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So anyway, everything is being reviewed. Even Brandy's financials. They want to know how much she made from the show. And that can only mean one thing, because they must be trying to see how much they can take from her.
Pair, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, what a mess. Anyway, I don't wish either of these two ladies luck. I don't have a horse in this race. I don't care who wins. I just can't believe that it's still going on.
I know. I can't believe it's gotten this serious.
Yeah, and Brandy was just on Watch What Happens Live.
Yep, she was on Watch What Happens, and she was doing that cooking reality show and with Leanne's ex.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
So now, and then now they're acting like they've hooked up, and I think he was the bartender on Watch What Happens Live, so there's a lot of craziness going on.
I will say. I don't know. I wish that story would go away. But I just can't believe how entrenched that is in Bravo Land. I really can't. Let's turn our attention to Misha Barton. No one said that recently. But this story, I mean, what the hell happened to her? Police received multiple calls around 7:15 in the morning this past week for a disturbance in her West Hollywood apartment. She's only 31 years old. And I feel like when I see Misha, I think of 2008, 2009, and that's it. Like, I kind of forget that she's still hanging around.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if it was just me, but I thought it was a known thing that she was kind of up the deep end. I mean, I ran into her randomly at a Jonas Brothers concert backstage when I first moved out here. And she was pretty bizarre.
Really?
Yeah, so I don't know. I thought it was known. And then she recently hosted an Esquire show with T-Pain. Oh. And so they thought that was going to kind of, like, help her have a comeback and be sober. And so, I don't know. I was under the impression she kind of had some issues.
Mm-hmm. What was the behavior like that you witnessed?
She was just pretty, she seemed highly intoxicated, pretty out okay. there, also by herself. Why are we at a Jonas Brothers concert? Don't know what the connection was there.
Alone.
Yeah. And talking to anyone, it seemed like looking for friends. Just bizarre.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it was sad. That's a good way to put it. It was sad. And then I think she thought maybe this Esquire thing would elevate her.
Right.
And
because the other people from that show, the OC, have done so well.
I know.
There's clearly something up where people don't want to work with her.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I haven't heard any rumors either. So I don't know if she's a nasty person. But I've heard she's nice, just troubled.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is she just issued a statement, I think yesterday, saying she was out for a birthday party and someone slipped a date rape drug in her drink.
Oh, and so then, that was why.
And then in this day and age, with everyone having a camera, I guess her behavior was caught and they released her once they checked her at the hospital.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's awful. She's had a history of breakdowns, so a lot of people were relating that, like that she was just kind of had fallen off again. Because she even said herself in an interview, like, in 2009, she had a bunch of issues, and she was really messed up, and she had to go into, I believe she was held on a 5150.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know, I thought perhaps that she did have a mental break, I really did.
I did too.
I wouldn't have been surprised, I mean, it's in her history, but they said that she did go willingly to the hospital and all of that, because she, yeah, maybe she was just completely just messed up on drugs, so she had to go, and she just...
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just like she literally... I thought it was like she had a moment where she was like, okay, I really need mental help. But apparently she was just probably so far gone on this drug that she just went with the flow of events.
Yeah, I think so. They said she was in a backyard and making weird sounds. And I don't know. I mean, I hope it didn't really happen to her. But if it did, that's just bad luck because I think it makes her look worse, you know?
Yeah.
Poor thing.
She must have really been acting up for people in West Hollywood to call the police.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of behavior, a lot of things. Like, I don't like to get involved. And I'm just like, that's their business. Like, you know, like, I've never called the police on something suspicious or, luckily, I haven't been in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But especially someone's behavior, like, that, I'm, like, moving on with my day. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so she must have really, they said multiple calls. I mean, well, what was she doing?
I don't know. I think they said she had slurred statements, which, again, if you're drinking. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe someone thought she was having a serious medical problem and that was the slurring or I don't know. It's interesting. I would be interested in knowing. I mean, well, if they released her right away, she has to be fine. So.
Yeah. I feel like she needs to like get out of West Hollywood and get out of LA.
She needs to take a break and hire someone to fix her rep and have a new career. We can Justin Bieber this and you know, let's have a comeback.
Yeah, let's start from the beginning. Let's like get on like we'll do like an arc on like a CW show.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, we can make it good.
Yes. Let's do something like that. Well, Misha, I don't know. Good luck, girl. I don't know. Anyway, the Today Show is in the news again. I feel like every couple of weeks they're doing something over there. Either Matt Lauer is signing on for another 100 years. Or
strange.
Someone's going to Access Hollywood. It's always weird. But our opinions, since we both work for Comcast, NBC, Universal, our opinions are our own and do not reflect those of the company, so y'all can relax. But I just wanted to talk about this because this is a big move. And we're not even going to be, like, critical. We're just kind of talking about what's out there. This is a big move with Megyn Kelly coming to NBC.
It's huge. And, I mean, from Megyn Kelly's perspective, good for her because I think she tried really hard to keep it neutral, even though, you know, being on Fox News is not. But she, if you watched her closely, she always tried to keep it down the middle, not say too much, and that sort of thing. So it's good for her. But, I mean, I don't know if this is true or not, but to hear that Savannah found out 30 minutes before it was happening that it might be her slot, you know, that's the downside of the biz.
Savannah. Oh, yeah. Oh, for the that 9 o'clock hour.
Right.
Yeah.
And you never know what's a rumor, what's not. But they're reporting she found out, like, right before it was released. Which we know how that goes.
Yeah.
With, you know, even Kelly and even Michael and all of that.
Not surprised. I know. It's some of these people are protected. Like, I think Matt Lauer is always the first to know of these things. And it's odd that, you know, certain people get treatment over others. But what other people have to remember who aren't, like, in the business is that these decisions are made so far beyond the personalities that you see that for a lot of times it is kind of like the last person to know because they have no gun in that fight. Like, they have no voice in that those negotiations. They're just doing their job, which is not to make the decisions.
Right, which is pretty scary.
Yeah, because, like, 30 minutes, surprise.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Megyn Kelly. I just lumped her into the Fox News world for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But I then, once she was roped into President Trump's storyline, I was like, okay, let me see how she behaves, because, like, she could really exploit this and make something of this. And I feel like she was pretty fair.
She held her own.
Yeah, she's pretty fair. And then I watched her. She was a guest co-host on Live with Kelly. And, I mean, God help me, I think I saw her on The View a couple times. and I was like, okay, I kind of like this girl. But is she towing the line? And then when I heard that she was out, like so many at Fox, it's just gotten to be so extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so agenda-driven that she just was like, I can't do this anymore as a journalist. I respect that.
I respect it, too.
Yeah, so good for her. I mean,
we give her props.
Yeah. She's making a lot of money at NBC, though. I mean, they're, like, literally overhauling the Today Show, apparently. She's due for a September launch, and there are a lot of... I read in a Variety article, and they were saying different things about, like, what may or may not be happening. But they are... The hour that she's looking to replace, so it's the hour before Kathy Lee and Hoda, like you mentioned, that 9 o'clock hour here in L.A. anyway, in New York... they want to move that, but apparently that hour is winning in all major demographics and beating syndicated TV shows in daytime at that time. So it's an awful big gamble to be like, all right, we're gonna kill the number one show in network at this time to put Megyn in. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know how it's gonna work out, but it's gonna be really interesting to see and to see her in that hour and not doing Fox News or all political. I don't know. It'll be an interesting switch.
I think it's a gamble, but I think it's a gamble worth trying.
Yeah, and they're smart because it's going to get a ton of eyeballs.
Yeah.
As we're already talking about it, how will it play out?
Right. Because what is, like, 100% and I'm assuming they're going completely political with her, but, like, what in that hour is, like, a political news show? Besides, I mean, even MSNBC, I mean, but that show they have over there, I think, is a little bit lighter, and I don't think people like that show that much.
And the Today Show audience, I feel like, is usually, you know, moms or morning people or, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I mean, if someone had to do it, I think it could be her. You know, like, if someone was going to be a strong female voice in that hour, I think that was a good choice. And it's interesting that they did not go the syndicated route with her like they did with Meredith Vieira and Anderson Cooper, I mean, all those syndicated shows. I don't know.
They don't do well.
No. I mean, I don't know how Steve Harvey does as well as he does.
I know.
I don't care
for
him.
Even Harry didn't do so well.
Yeah, is Harry getting... Is that picked up?
I don't think so. No. I haven't heard anything, but I watched a few of them, and it was cute, but, you know, it's hard to stay in that lane.
I don't know, Kathy Lee and Hoda, that time slot could also be for her as well, but they said that they're going to keep those two, and they'll just move them to another time. I actually don't mind them, but I always forget that they're on TV.
It's funny, I don't mind them either, and I didn't think I liked Kathy Lee when she was with Regis. I thought she was kind of annoying, and then now I really like her with Hoda.
Yeah, me too. I like them a lot, and I feel like they don't do any advertising for them.
No,
they just slip them on, like, after the fact, like, oh yeah, we're gonna, here's a bonus episode.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're positive, and they're fun, and
they
good
are.
Energy.
Yeah, so I'm glad to see that they'll survive the Megyn Kelly entrance.
Yeah.
A lot of soap opera fans were concerned about Days of Our Lives, because that's a time slot that they used to have quite a large day part on NBC, and now it's down to like an hour or two, and that's where the soap block was, and now there's one soap opera across NBC, and so that would be ripe for the picking for a cross-network daytime show. But I think they're being smart about doing it in the morning.
I think so too.
Daytime TV is not what it used to be. It's a huge gamble. You've got her, you're paying her big money. You have to really make an invest well in her.
I agree, and I think they'll make it work.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I'm very curious to see. We shall find out in September. Megan is slated to join them a lot earlier, where she will be just corresponding and in and out until she gets her own hour 5 days a week. Good for her. And let's take a look at our old Hollywood talk story.
Yes.
Judy Garland is in the news. Who would have thought? I didn't think I'd be saying this on this show. People Magazine talks about her and her remains, basically, being airlifted from JFK to LAX, and she's going to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, just down the street from here, actually. So, different. She's been dead. She has passed 48 years ago. So, I don't know. I might be kind of a light box. It's awful.
It makes me wonder, why wasn't she buried out here to begin with?
I don't know.
I understand they're moving her now, so there are extra plots, I think, for children or relatives.
Yeah, Liza. Liza moved her.
Which I totally understand, and
right.
I get that, but it makes me wonder why it wasn't done from the beginning.
Right. And, like, why did you wait, like, 48 years?
Right. I mean, I had an aunt who was really close to me who passed away. She was only 38, and she passed away in 2010. And it was the first time I actually ever thought about something like that, because I'm out here, my brother's out here, my parents eventually want to leave the snow and come out, and it seems like we're slowly coming this way. And since she was buried in Boston, that actually came up. You're like, what do we do? Do we just go back and keep visiting? Do we bring her with us? And, you know, it's kind of an awkward topic, because you don't want to dig anyone up.
Yeah.
But in Judy's case, I get it, because she has children and... I don't know.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery?
I have.
I have not been, but I've read, but there's a bunch of odd statues and mausoleums, and it's really, like, something to see. It's more of a show place.
I saw a movie. They do, how they do, like, those screenings?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw that, but I haven't.
They have, like, movies, like, late at night in the cemetery over there all
it's
the time.
Creepy.
Yeah, I never had gone to one of those, which I would like to go.
Yeah, it's cool.
But, yeah, so what did you see when you were in there? Because I heard it's not your typical cemetery. It's, like, it's Hollywoodified.
I don't know why. I can't remember now. I feel like it was an old movie. And probably, I think it maybe like a Hitchcock movie. I think it was scary, and it was a rainy night, and it was kind of creepy to be there.
Oh.
But yeah, no, I would definitely recommend it once. It's nice that they do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said that there's mausoleums, different odd headstones with like interesting sayings on them, and unusual. They said, quote, unusual monuments. I guess there's like a monument of like a rocket taking off, like a big stone. Like, I don't know what the hell that is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Interesting. There's a lot of old Hollywood stars that are already there to greet Judy when she arrives. Like Charlie Chaplin, Douglas Fairbanks, and Johnny Ramone is buried there as well. So
imagine being on that plane with Judy. Or does she go in her own plane?
That's the thing. You know, I heard about this, that you could get on any plane and they won't tell you.
And they
won't
tell you.
There's bodies on there. They would load them up.
That's wild.
Yeah, and it gets very cold down there.
Or,
so
and if people knew,
bodies.
They would probably, like, purposely take the flight.
Yes. Oh, for Judy?
Yeah,
just
for
to
Judy.
Say they were on it. Well, people might not want to get on any plane if they know there's a body on there either. But yeah, they don't have to tell you, and they load them up. And I think of all the flights that I've taken across country, I'm sure there's one or two a corpse flying beneath me.
And then also, how do you know that they even have the right one? unless you like watch them exhume it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I would, my mind would start going crazy with trust, and what if they got mixed up and, you know, I don't know.
I don't know if I would ever find the need to exhume a body just to be buried next to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, when I'm gone, how am I gonna know? You know what
Do
I mean?
Do you want to be buried? Now we're getting a little morbid. Do you want to be buried?
I would, technically, yes. I would, just because I'm old school like that.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's funny. Everyone now wants to be cremated.
That's true. Yeah, no. I can't imagine going, like, that process is not, no.
I know.
No,
but
thank
now it's
you.
So expensive, too.
Yeah. I don't know. So, it'll be interesting. I love doing some old Hollywood talk here on the show. And now we'll be back in a moment with some Lexi Stack talk coming up.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms and YouTube for bonus content. And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Lexi Stack. And we're going to be talking to her about a lot of stuff in her own life, what she's doing out here in L.A., and more. Let's talk about how you came out here and what brought you to LA initially. You said your brother's out here. Mm-hmm. So what's the story?
So I'm from Boston originally, and I went to college in DC. And I always knew I wanted to be out here. If you go in my childhood room, there are like Beverly Hills sign posters, and I just always wanted to be in LA. So the first moment I could was after college, and I bought a one-way ticket, packed two suitcases, and came out. And I, at the time, I was working part-time for Radio Disney in Boston, so I had them transfer me to Burbank, so I at least had a little income.
Oh, yeah.
So I started with that, and then I just began networking through people my brother knew and myself, and then I had, I mean, four jobs. I was at Bloomingdale's and a waitress and entertainment on the side as freelance until I got accepted into the Page program where mm-hmm. I met you.
Yes.
And so that was probably a year in, because I moved out 5 years ago, March, and then my second March, I was a Page, mm-hmm. the March class.
That's pretty good, though, year. That first year after graduation, I wouldn't wish that on anyone, though. That's always the worst.
Tough. It is so tough. And I was desperate. Like, Starbucks wouldn't hire me. Whole Foods, like, all these people would say I was either overqualified or nothing worked out. I would beg to be assistants. I mean, mm-hmm. tried everything and nothing worked. And then I even went to the Page interview, and originally they told me I wasn't impressive on paper because I didn't have enough media internships. And I thought working at Disney for a year made it seem like I wasn't flaky. So I thought that was a positive.
Yeah.
And they were like, nope, you need to go do more things. So my brother's boss helped me out, and I got to do the Golden Globes and, you know, coordinate the video press room there and LA screenings and a few different events. And then finally they accepted me.
So you did the work and you got in.
Yes,
yeah.
I got in.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
And that kind of got the ball rolling for where I am now.
Yeah. That's the thing about all this resume reading. I just can't stand it because it's so objective.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would explain to people, like, I assist a team in LA and I work with a team in Chicago, so there's a lot of coordinating and time differences, and people would just look at me and be like, well, I don't get it.
Yeah.
How do you work with people in Chicago? I'm like, well, I do. Like, over the phone, we have meetings, like, conference calls. Like, I, like, work on their projects. Like, I don't know. So it's just because if people don't understand something or can't wrap their mind around something, you're, like, counted out immediately. It's the worst.
It is. And it's funny because I wonder if it's how I was brought up, too. Because my parents always, like, if you jumped from one thing to the next or you never finished or you quit, that wasn't okay. So to me, it was like you make a commitment, you stay at least a year, you put in your time and your work, and that's supposed to be what pays off. So it was strange to then come out here and see, no, you should be doing like little month projects.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's exactly right. You don't know what they're looking for until someone tells you.
Yeah. I mean, we grew up in very similar areas. I mean, but coming out here is just totally different. Everything here to me is like in a temporary state.
Yes.
At all times.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like you said, like growing up, you grow up, you get a job, you go a manager, assistant manager,
exactly.
Manager, like you move up and you 30 years at a company.
Right.
So different out here. And yeah, all that freelance is encouraged, but getting freelance work, I don't know how people do it. How do you not know what your income is for a month?
I don't know.
Like, I couldn't do.
No, you know? it's scary. And back to what you were saying, but where we come from, the mindset out here is, you know, if something's broken, you get a new one. You don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of across the board, you know, tells people what Hollywood is really like. There's always something new, someone better, someone prettier, everything's disposable and temporary.
So true. So true. What a weird, it's like a weird lifestyle to adjust. And I've been out here now, since 2009, and I'm still not adjusted to that mindset. Because to me, it's like, I don't view people as disposable and everybody else around me seems to. So it's like, I still like, I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid, you know?
Exactly. Or even if, you know, like if you start as a page and work your way up, you would think there's something to be said for that. Or, you know, maybe because of your loyalty, you get a bonus or this or that. And it's like people have to move every few years from company to company to get the salary like they should get.
That's so true. Yeah.
It's a weird world.
It is. My sister was telling me the other day, she's like, I should have just become an optometrist. She's like, why didn't I do that?
Yes, why didn't I go to nursing school?
I know.
Or even some, you know, when I was at Bloomingdale's, some of the buyers or the managers, they make a lot more than I do. Like, should I go back?
I know. Even though it's tough to make good money and move around, I still enjoy working in the business. I mean, you've been at NBC now for a while.
Yes, it's been, 3 years permanently, and then with Paige, I guess 4 years.
Yeah, that's good. In this business, I mean, that is longevity right there.
And I think I've done well for myself, but, you know, hungry folks like us, you always want more.
Exactly. And what are you doing at the company?
So I'm currently supporting the sales team. So I'm in television distribution, which we have offices, as you know, all over the world. And I'm kind of point person between the networks and the salespeople. So our group is split by product line, and you manage all the television product through every stage of the television life cycle. So from development and green light and air all the way to library. And you feed all that information and support to the sales team and give them sales material so that they can sell it.
Got it.
Yeah, so it's fun. I mean, I've learned a lot. It's a place I never thought I'd end up in, and it's been great.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel where I am in international, with just the sales and strategy, pretty much the long line of sales. Is I never thought I would be there, but I really enjoy the people and what I do, and I think it's a good group, and I love the international aspect. It makes me feel like I know what's going on in the world.
Well, my boss always says, and I love this line, it's the only job in the world where if you were to get stuck in any country, you could call someone.
I never thought about it.
Yeah, like it's such a cool thing to think about, and so that, you know, I don't know, I think it's just really great.
Yeah.
Or like one time I heard about these potatoes in Japan that are supposed to make you look young. Olivia Munn was posting about this, and so I emailed the girls in Japan. I'm like, have you heard about these potatoes? Like, send them, mail them to us. She didn't know what I was talking about, but I sent her the village information. I'm like, we need them in shipments in bulk. Send them now.
That's funny.
We'll see if that happens. Yeah. But no, it's cool to have, you know, people all around the world.
Yeah, I love to get perspectives on things from different people overseas. Like, there's one girl in Singapore who's like the nicest girl, and because of just the time difference, she'll be getting into the office when I'm getting in my car to leave for the day, so we totally have no overlap.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll sit in my apartment and I'll email and take care of some things from home with her. And so I was interested to see what she thought of this election, and she was just like very unbiased, but she said, she's like, we really are hoping for just a strong leader. It's very important to us. And like, you know, so I was like, just so curious, like as far as possible, like Singapore, what are they thinking of this?
Yes.
This was before, I think this was election night
before
actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So this was election night. And she was, so I remember I was like, it was on my mind, and I was like, by the way, I'm like, what do you make of all of this?
Just food for thought.
Yeah. And so I just think it's just great to get a world perspective. It's
absolutely
so easy. It's so easy to not only be in the United States, but to be in LA and be in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, I never want to be ignorant to that. You know, I want to always know. And I just think it's, like you said, it's a great resource. It's like a
really
bonus.
It is. It is such a bonus.
We work in a good group over there. I like it quite a bit. So now, tell us more about some of the goals that you have and things that interest you outside of what you do. You know, everyone's got a side hustle or they're developing something. Like, what were you thinking about?
Yeah, I'm really drawn to live events, red carpets, and that sort of thing. I've always really liked fashion. I like branding. And I don't know. It's tough for me to narrow down my goal for right now. But I always wanted to kind of climb the corporate ladder and then find myself in a position where I had a platform to then branch off and do those things. Because, mm-hmm. you know, with money, like, it's hard. You can't just give up your job and then, yeah. you know, pursue whatever it is you want to pursue. Right. Unfortunately, some people can, and that's great. But, I can't. And so, I don't know. I've always had the goal of VP, like I told you, VP by 35. And then I do want to do some writing. I would love to have a hand in producing a show. Andy Cohen did it right. You know, he was yeah. the head of programming, and then they needed someone to fill in for a reunion, and look at him now. He's the face of Bravo. So, yeah, maybe the female Andy Cohen.
There you go. Yeah. You got to be in the right place at the right time. But
exactly.
by being behind the gates, you know, already. Yeah. Like, yeah, I can very much relate to you. Like, I don't have the luxury to just be like, I am going to be a host, and that's it, and just be done with everything and just go on auditions like that. And I can't just right. be a host, unfortunately.
No, and that's the yeah. dream. And having the flexibility to do so. And even, I mean, I'm a workaholic and I always was. But then, you know, as you get older too, you kind of realize you do need the work-life balance. And so I think the flexible schedules are all the rage right now. And
yeah.
you can sit at home and do your juicing and blog about it. And
yeah.
you
know. Part of me gets a little envious when people have so much time. Like, the difference, I was thinking about this today, actually. Like, the difference out here versus, I think, New York or even Boston is, like, a friend of mine is like, oh, so you work weekdays. And, like, it's almost odd to ask someone that their schedules out here that someone works weekdays, where you're in another city, you'd be asking, wait, what is your schedule? You work nights and weekends? Like, it's just so flipped here. Yeah. You know, it's like you're the odd man out if you work regular 9 to 5.
It's absolutely true. I actually didn't think about that.
Yeah, and so it's a lot of work to schedule things. Like, I have friends I never see because we work opposite schedules.
Yeah.
It's very little overlap.
And you know, like, every server or bartender, everyone's like, so what's your other job? Or, you know, yeah. what are you trying to be, an actor or model, you know?
Yeah. If I had more stamina, I would take on more. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to do more. While I'm here and there's so much opportunity in LA,
yeah.
I need to make sure I have gas in the tank to keep it going.
Yeah.
You know, because I have to, my main, bread and butter is this job that we're talking about over at NBC. So if without that, the engine doesn't run.
Exactly.
You know, so I have to make sure that is my priority over everything else. But everything else is, like, you know, so, glamorous and, like, you know, fresh opportunity and cool. But I got to keep it all together.
Yeah.
If not, nothing's happening.
You know? No, exactly. And I also think it, you know, later on in life, hopefully when we can branch out, I think it's helpful to know the business from the inside too. Like, I think it's actually an advantage to have both sides. You know, if I started just auditioning and never did the corporate side, I don't know. I don't think I'd know, you know, you wouldn't know as much.
Yeah.
So my goal is to hopefully get as much as I can from the inside and then take some from the outside on the side and hopefully meet somewhere in the middle in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, even like booking a commercial or going to an audition or just like you said, there's so much out here and you see some of these commercials, you're like, I can do that.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
So I don't know. There's a lot, I think, coming in the future. And this year, I told you, is the year of yes.
Oh, you're doing the year of yes.
I am accepting all invitations and finally trying to put myself first.
There you go.
yeah. So we'll see.
Tell me about your time at Super Bowl 49.
Oh, well, yeah. Speaking of putting myself first.
Yeah.
So I am a huge Patriots fan, which I don't know. Do you follow sports?
A little bit, not a lot.
I think in my mind I pretend that you are.
Okay. I mean, look, I grew up with Patriots on every day of the week, so.
So, okay, we can share in that excitement.
Yes.
A week from today is the Super Bowl. But it's a long story, but in short, my brother and I, we traveled to Arizona for the Super Bowl, and a bunch of family went. My aunt lives out there, and the best play of the evening was when Butler got the interception. At that moment, three large men behind me jumped up to hug each other and landed on me and knocked me over, instantly tearing my ACL.
Talk about the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes. So I got a football injury without playing football while watching it. And I mean, I had to, like, the emergency services came. I had to refuse service so I could watch the end of, you know, the celebration and all of that. Then the next day, I think everyone thought I was being dramatic because, I don't know, they thought I just hurt my knee. But the next day, I had to sit in a car, and I think it was 8 hours in traffic because we were in Super Bowl traffic from Arizona to LA with a bag of ice. Couldn't walk. My foot couldn't touch the ground. I didn't have an elevator in my apartment. I had to go upstairs. And then I still went to work the next day because my boss knew I went to the Super Bowl. And again, coming from the East Coast, this is how I am. I'm not going to just call out.
Right. I would never do any of that.
No, because I'm like, she's going to think I'm hungover, and I'm not that person. If I'm hungover, I suffer through the day. So right. So I go to work, and it wasn't until she asked me to come in her office. And I sent her an email. I said, it might take me a while. And she's a few feet away from where I sit, and it took me maybe a half an hour. Like, I could not walk. And so she's the one who told me to leave and go to urgent care. And meanwhile, I'm still driving myself. And so then, you know, it's another 2 weeks till you get your x-ray and figure out what it is.
2 weeks?
Oh, yeah. And then by the time I found out what it was, my leg was so damaged that they couldn't even operate on me until I did physical therapy for about 2 months. And then they reconstructed my leg with my own thigh muscle. And then in the following December, I had to go in for a second surgery and did PT through that whole... I mean, these last 2 years have been crazy. So I had to do PT through all of that. And, you know, just so everyone can picture, to do PT before surgery means you have to get full range of motion in your leg. So I had to work my leg to being back to good as new just to go in to start over again. So I had three, like, starting over moments with my leg, with, learning how to walk. And so, I mean, you know, and it's all good now, but it takes a toll on you mentally.
Absolutely.
Like, depression-wise, because then you're like, you know, I'm going to order pizza, I'm not walking down the stairs, I'm going to do this, I'm not doing that, you know, I can't wear heels, I'm not going to go out, I'm not, you know, you don't want to see people, you can't put pants over the brace that's on your leg, like, so there's that, and then the other aspect is the fear, you know, you don't want to be in crowds anymore, or you're, you know, if you're out at a club, you're afraid if someone knocks me over and it happens again, or...
Right.
So it was just a lot to deal with and work through, but now that I'm coming out on the other side, that kind of ties into my putting myself first, and just, I found this trainer who is heaven sent, and he's blown out both of his knees, and so he gets it. So physically, I've become so much stronger, and mentally, he helps me, so...
How long has it been since you've recovered?
It will be February... Oh, since I recovered?
Yeah.
Well, it was a year December from the second surgery. So
okay,
it was two years from injury, a year and a half from the first surgery, and two, you know, in 1 year from the second surgery.
So it's been a year out.
Yeah.
Now.
So this is now the best I've felt yet.
Wow, that's a long road. Long road to recovery.
It was,
good for you, though.
Thank
for getting
you.
Past all of that.
I give athletes so much more credit because I think because I wasn't an athletic person before, you know, I do your occasional hike or this or that, but I had no muscle memory. I didn't even lift a weight past 2 pounds. And so just to see what your body can do is incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm still not the same now on stairs and heels, and it's different, but, you know, I'm still working at it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What a process. How did you stay motivated, and then what did you do to how did you continue to work and do that work? Like, working is a full-time job as it is. That must have dominated your schedule.
It really did. And thank God I have a great boss who let me do the PT and didn't make me feel bad for it. You know, she said, put yourself first. But, I had to do that every day and work at it every day. I still do. But I think the biggest thing is it's all in your mind. It's mind over matter. And for a while there, I did succumb to it. Like, I didn't want to go out. I did kind of cut people off. I didn't feel like myself, and I still don't fully. But just having support around you, and, you know, my mom came out and stayed with me for the surgery, and so family and friends who get it and who don't judge you for wanting to be in the dark and not go to clubs anymore. And
but that's so unfortunate. Like, in a moment, your whole life can change for years.
And what an interesting thought that in that moment, there goes 2 years and who knows how many G's, how many grands, there goes all of that. And then the kids that did it probably just went on and never thought about it again.
Yeah.
Probably don't even remember. And, you know, they were nice. No one meant to. It was just an accident.
Right.
But, Yeah, and so that led me to this cleanse I was telling you about that I'm on. I decided to just kind of bite the bullet, and, you know, I've been having all these stomach issues, so I cut out dairy, and now I'm totally cleansing for 30 days. But it's been good. I'm already down 15 pounds.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good. Wow.
Yeah, so it's exciting.
Oh, a cleanse. I have not done it. I'm always trying to gain because I can't, but I also don't eat very well, and I do and I don't. Occasionally, I usually don't eat like at all, which is the problem. So, you know, what do you recommend for a cleanse? Like, well, how did you get into it? Your trainer?
This is funny. I've been wanting to kind of go dairy free because I have a cheese addiction. Some people like their sweets. I like my cheese and bread, like pizza, all of that.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm lactose, but I still eat it anyway. So I was like, why don't I just give it 30 days, kind of do the elimination diet, then slowly work things in and see what are the triggers.
Mm.
And so...
Oh my God, that song takes so much discipline. Like, I don't think I could do
it that. It does. And it's funny because I wanted to do it, you know, January 1st anyway, because I said through the holidays, everyone has a cheese plate. Then comes Super Bowl, it's nachos. So January is the month. And on New Year's Eve, I actually saw a Facebook ad for a company called Arbonne. And they were having a deal, and it was all plant-based stuff. So dairy-free, soy-free, no corn. I mean, I haven't done sugar or coffee or caffeine or alcohol, like nothing. And my problem is I would eat one meal a day and I'm fine. And my body gains when I have one, whereas some people that doesn't happen.
Right.
So for me, the hardest part was eating the every 3 to 4 hours, doing that sort of thing. But no, it's been great. I mean, I'm eating significantly less, and I'm not hungry, which shows it is mental. You know, you want the French fries and that kind of thing. And the dairy freeze cleared up my skin, and my stomach aches are gone, and I strategically planned it so my first cocktail can be Super Bowl Sunday.
Nice. Well, you know, a good goal. Like, I can't get over, like, I feel like I'm so not at all dialed into any type of discipline like that. Like, that's such a lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I've recently kind of given up with the gym. Unfortunately, I had a lot of different things happen that I don't care for.
The gym is just so tough, especially out here.
And it's so expensive, and then the rates go up, and I'm saying I'm not getting any of my money's worth out of it. I've had trainers that took my money and left, and I don't have a passion for it anymore because of the eating. Because I know I don't have the discipline to create a lifestyle where I'm eating every couple of hours with the rice and the chicken and then the greens.
Yes.
And then the reverse. And I just don't have that in me right now. And I don't have the money to eat like that either.
No, and it's also too much to remember and to think about, like, on top of everything else, and supplements and, like, there's just, it's way too much.
I mean, I work sometimes, like, I'll go to one job to the next, so, like, I'll have very full days where to be able to be heating up, like, peas and broccoli and, like, a chicken breast is, like, not an option.
Exactly.
So, to me, it just doesn't suit my lifestyle, but, I mean, I envy you and respect so much of what you've done because I don't know if I would have it in me, and I feel bad that I say that about myself, but I don't think I could do that.
It's tough. And the other thing, too, is it's easy to do if you're alone and kind of selfish. To have any kind of a social life, it's really hard. Like, we had a birthday dinner the other night, and everything is shared plates. So you can't be like, oh, was that chicken cooked with butter? Because, you know, butter is dairy. Mm-hmm. Or you can't really control it. And out here, everything is a shared plate.
Everything is a cocktail, too.
Yes, and everything is a cocktail. And that was hard. I would get, like, sparkling water with lemon. And then, you know, they're like, oh, we got bottles of wine for the whole table. And then the second, you're like, oh, no, thanks. And everyone's like, what? You're not drinking? Like, what's going on? Like, are you pregnant? Like, what's up? Like, no. Like, and then you have to answer, like, oh, I'm doing this for myself. And, you know, and it's funny. It was like, now I get anxiety, too, about, like, oh, well, what will I eat there? What will I eat? And I don't want to live like that forever, but I just want it to be strict at least for the 30 days to at least do that part right.
Yeah.
And then going forward, I just want to be more mindful about what I'm eating.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize everything I ate basically had cheese in or on it.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to be more present and aware of what I'm actually doing and what I'm putting in my body, and also career-wise, like, you know, who I'm talking to, what I'm, you know, what I'm putting out there. So.
Yeah. Well, it's very LA of you to be on a cleanse.
Yes. So. I'm pretty basic right now. Basic girl.
Very for Hollywood.
Yeah.
Well, where can we keep up with you online?
So I'm at Lexi Stack, and Lexi is L-E-X-I-E, and it's seamless across the board. The brand nice. I don't have yet.
But you're working on
it. Yeah, working
hopefully
on it.
That, you know, hopefully you'll grab a few followers from the show, and
yes.
you can use that as a... a launching pad for yourself.
Yes, and then we can
year.
Remember it all started here.
Yes. Well, we'll have to have you back onto a panel, of course.
I would love that.
Yes, and thank you to all my loyal listeners. I've been hearing a lot from you, and I so appreciate the tweets and the comments. It's really great that y'all are enjoying the show so much. If you want to support me, I would love that too. You could check out me over on Patreon, where there's some incentives and different interactions and bonus content. That's patreon.com/grantsrants. That'll do it for us. For more rants, Lexi, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been Grants Rants. Follow us on Twitter at @grants_rants. Cover art created by Howie Rone. Voiceover by Blake V. Media. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen.